and was fighting furiously, but his head and torso were slipping out of sight. "Run!" Harry shouted, trying to follow, but the heavy branch whipped lethally through the air, and he was forced backward again. All they could see now was one of Ron's legs, which he had hooked around a root in an effort to stop the dog from pulling him farther underground. But a horrible crack cut the air like a gunshot. Ron's leg had broken, and a moment later his foot vanished from sight. "Harry, we've got to go for help!" Hermione gasped. She was bleeding, too. The willow had cut her across the shoulder. "No, that thing's big enough to eat him. We haven't got time. Harry, we're never going to get through without help!" Another branch whipped down at them, twigs clenched like knuckles. "If that dog can get in, we can," Harry panted, darting here and there, trying to find a way through the vicious, swishing branches. But he couldn't get an inch nearer to the tree roots without being in range of the tree's blows. "Oh, help! Help!" Hermione whispered frantically, dancing uncertainly on the spot. "Please!" Crookshanks darted forward. He slithered between the battering branches like a snake and placed his front paws upon a knot on the trunk. Abruptly, as though the tree had been turned to marble, it stopped moving. Not a leaf twitched or shook. "Crookshanks!" Hermione whispered uncertainly. Now she grasped Harry's arm painfully hard. "How did he know?" "He's friends with that dog," said Harry grimly. "I've seen them together. Come on, and keep your wand out." They covered the distance to the trunk in seconds, but before they had reached the gap in the roots, Crookshanks had slid into it with a flick of his bottle brush tail. Harry went next. He crawled forward head first and slid down an earthy slope to the bottom of a very low tunnel. Crookshanks was a little way along, his eyes flashing in the light from Harry's wand. Seconds later, Hermione slithered down beside him. "Where's Ron?" she whispered in a terrified voice. "This way," said Harry, setting off bent-backed after Crookshanks. "Where does this tunnel come out?" Hermione asked breathlessly from behind him. "I don't know. It's marked on the Marauder's map, but Fred and George said no one's ever gotten into it. It goes off the edge of the map, but it looked like it was heading for Hogsmeade." They moved as fast as they could, bent almost double. Ahead of them, Crookshank's tail bobbed in and out of view. On and on went the passage. It felt at least as long as the one to Honeydukes. All Harry could think of was Ron and what the enormous dog might be doing to him. He was drawing breath in sharp, painful gasps, running at a crouch. And then the tunnel began to rise. Moments later it twisted, and Crookshanks had gone. Instead, Harry could see a patch of dim light through a small opening. He and Hermione paused, gasping for breath, edging forward. Both raised their wands to see what lay beyond. It was a room, a very disordered, dusty room. Paper was peeling from the walls. There were stains all over the floor. Every piece of furniture was broken as though somebody had smashed it. The windows were all boarded up. Harry glanced at Hermione, who looked very frightened, but nodded. Harry pulled himself out of the hole, staring around. The room was deserted, but a door to their right stood open, leading to a shadowy hallway. Hermione suddenly grabbed Harry's arm again. Her wide eyes were travelling around the boarded windows.
"Harry," she whispered, "I think we're in the Shrieking Shack."
Harry looked around. His eyes fell on a wooden chair near them. Large chunks had been torn out of it. One of the legs had been ripped off entirely.
"Ghosts didn't do that," he said slowly.
At that moment, there was a creak overhead. Something had moved upstairs. Both of them looked up at the ceiling. Hermione's grip on Harry's arm was so tight, he was losing feeling in his fingers. He raised his eyebrows at her. She nodded again and let go. Quietly as they could, they crept out into the hall and up the crumbling staircase. Everything was covered in a thick layer of dust, except the floor, where a wide, shiny stripe had been made by something being dragged upstairs. They reached the dark landing.
"Knox,"
they whispered together, and the lights at the end of their wands went out.
Only one door was open. As they crept toward it, they heard movement from behind it, a low moan, and then a deep, loud purring. They exchanged a last look, a last nod. Wand held tightly before him, Harry kicked the door wide open. On a magnificent four-poster bed with dusty hangings lay Crookshanks, purring loudly at the sight of them. On the floor, beside him, clutching his leg, which stuck out at a strange angle, was Ron. Harry and Hermione dashed across to him. "Ron, are you okay? Where's the dog?"
"Not a dog," Ron moaned.
His teeth were gritted with pain.
"Harry, it's a trap."
"What?"
"He's the dog! He's an animagus!"
Ron was staring over Harry's shoulder. Harry wheeled around. With a snap, the man in the shadows closed the door behind them. A mass of filthy, matted hair hung to his elbows. If eyes hadn't been shining out of the deep, dark sockets, he might have been a corpse. The waxy skin was stretched so tightly over the bones of his face, it looked like a skull. His yellow teeth were bared in a grin. It was Sirius Black.
"Expelliarmus," he croaked, pointing Ron's wand at them.
Harry and Hermione's wands shot out of their hands, high in the air, and Black caught them. Then he took a step closer. His eyes were fixed on Harry.
"I thought you'd come and help your friend," he said hoarsely.
His voice sounded as though he had long since lost the habit of using it.
"Your father would have done the same for me. Brave of you not to run for a teacher. I'm grateful. It will make everything much easier."
The taunt about his father rang in Harry's ears as though Black had bellowed it. A boiling hate erupted in Harry's chest, leaving no place for fear. For the first time in his life, he wanted his wand back in his hand, not to defend himself, but to attack, to kill. Without knowing what he was doing, he started forward, but there was a sudden movement on either side of him, and two pairs of hands grabbed him and held him back.
"No, Harry!"
Hermione gasped in a petrified whisper. Ron, however, spoke to Black.
"If you want to kill Harry, you'll have to kill us too," he said fiercely,
though the effort of standing upright was draining him of still more color, and he swayed slightly as he spoke. Something flickered in Black's shadowed eyes.
"Lie down," he said quietly to Ron. "You will damage that leg even more."
"Did you hear me?" Ron said weakly, though he was clinging painfully to Harry to stay upright.
"You'll have to kill all three of us." "There'll be only one murder here tonight," said Black, and his grin widened.
"Why is that?" Harry spat, trying to wrench himself free of Ron and Hermione.
"Didn't care last time, did you? Didn't mind slaughtering all those muggles to get at Pettigrew? What's the matter? Gone soft in Azkaban?"
"Harry!" Hermione whimpered.
"Be quiet! He killed my mum and dad!"
Harry roared, and with a huge effort he broke free of Hermione's and Ron's restraint and lunged forward. He had forgotten about magic. He had forgotten that he was short and skinny and 13, whereas Black was a tall, full-grown man. All Harry knew was that he wanted to hurt Black as badly as he could, and that he didn't care how much he got hurt in return. Perhaps it was the shock of Harry doing something so stupid, but Black didn't raise the wands in time. One of Harry's hands fastened over his wasted wrist, forcing the wand tips away. The knuckles of Harry's other hand collided with the side of Black's head, and they fell backward into the wall. Hermione was screaming. Ron was yelling. There was a blinding flash as the wands in Black's hand sent a jet of sparks into the air that missed Harry's face by inches. Harry felt the shrunken arm under his fingers twisting madly, but he clung on, his other hand punching every part of Black it could find. But Black's free hand had found Harry's throat.
"No!" he hissed. "I've waited too long!"
The fingers tightened. Harry choked, his glasses askew. Then he saw Hermione's foot swing out of nowhere. Black let go of Harry with a grunt of pain. Ron had thrown himself on Black's wand hand, and Harry heard a faint clatter.
He fought clear of the tangle of bodies and saw his own wand rolling across the floor. He threw himself toward it, but... Ah! Crookshanks had joined the fray. Both sets of front claws had sunk themselves deep into Harry's arm. Harry threw him off, but Crookshanks now darted toward Harry's wand. No, you don't! Roared Harry, and he aimed a kick at Crookshanks that made the cat leap aside, spitting. Harry snatched up his wand and turned. Get out of the way! He shouted at Ron and Hermione. They didn't need telling twice. Hermione, gasping for breath, her lip bleeding, scrambled aside, snatching up her and Ron's wands. Ron crawled to the four-poster and collapsed onto it, panting, his white face now tinged with green, both hands clutching his broken leg. Black was sprawled at the bottom of the wall. His thin chest rose and fell rapidly as he watched Harry walking slowly nearer, his wand pointing straight at Black's heart. "Going to kill me, Harry?" he whispered. Harry stopped right above him, his wand still pointing at Black's chest, looking down at him. A livid bruise was rising around Black's left eye, and his nose was bleeding. "You killed my parents," said Harry, his voice shaking slightly, but his wand hand quite steady. Black stared up at him out of those sunken eyes.
"I don't deny it," he said very quietly, "but if you knew the whole story..."
"The whole story?" Harry repeated, a furious pounding in his ears. "You sold them to Voldemort. That's all I need to know."
"You've got to listen to me,"
Black said, and there was a note of urgency in his voice now.
"You'll regret it if you don't. You don't understand."
"I understand a lot better than you think," said Harry, and his voice shook more than ever.
"You never heard her, did you? My mum, trying to stop Voldemort killing me, and you did that. You did it."
Before either of them could say another word, something ginger streaked past Harry. Crookshanks leapt onto Black's chest and settled himself there, right over Black's heart. Black blinked and looked down at the cat.
"Get off," he murmured, trying to push Crookshanks off him.
But Crookshanks sank his claws into Black's robes and wouldn't shift. He turned his ugly, squashed face to Harry and looked up at him with those great yellow eyes. To his right, Hermione gave a dry sob. Harry stared down at Black and Crookshanks, his grip tightening on the wand. So what if he had to kill the cat too? It was in league with Black. If it was prepared to die trying to protect Black, that wasn't Harry's business. If Black wanted to save it, that only proved he cared more for Crookshanks than for Harry's parents. Harry raised the wand. Now was the moment to do it. Now was the moment to avenge his mother and father. He was going to kill Black. He had to kill Black. This was his chance. The seconds lengthened, and still Harry stood frozen there, wand poised, Black staring up at him, Crookshanks on his chest. Ron's ragged breathing came from near the bed. Hermione was quite silent. And then came a new sound. Muffled footsteps were echoing up through the floor. Someone was moving downstairs.
"We're up here!" Hermione screamed suddenly. "We're up here! Sirius Black, quick!"
Black made a startled movement that almost dislodged Crookshanks. Harry gripped his wand convulsively.
"Do it now!" said a voice in his head.
But the footsteps were thundering up the stairs and Harry still hadn't done it. The door of the room burst open in a shower of red sparks, and Harry wheeled around as Professor Lupin came hurtling into the room, his face bloodless, his wand raised and ready. His eyes flickered over Ron lying on the floor, over Hermione cowering next to the door, to Harry standing there with his wand covering Black, and then to Black himself, crumpled and bleeding at Harry's feet.
"Expelliarmus!"
Lupin shouted. Harry's wand flew once more out of his hand. So did the two Hermione was holding. Lupin caught them all deftly, then moved into the room, staring at Black, who still had Crookshanks lying protectively across his chest.
Harry stood there, feeling suddenly empty. He hadn't done it. His nerve had failed him. Black was going to be handed back to the Dementors. Then Lupin spoke in a very tense voice.
"Where is he, Sirius?"
Harry looked quickly at Lupin. He didn't understand what Lupin meant. Who was Lupin talking about? He turned to look at Black again. Black's face was quite expressionless. For a few seconds he didn't move at all. Then, very slowly, he raised his empty hand and pointed straight at Ron. Mystified, Harry glanced around at Ron, who looked bewildered. "But then," Lupin muttered, staring at Black so intently it seemed he was trying to read his mind, "why hasn't he shown himself before now? Unless..." Lupin's eyes suddenly widened, as though he was seeing something beyond Black, something none of the rest could see. "Unless he was the one, unless you switched without telling me." Very slowly, his sunken gaze never leaving Lupin's face, Black nodded.
"Professor," Harry interrupted loudly, "what's going on?"
But he never finished the question, because what he saw made his voice die in his throat. Lupin was lowering his wand, gazing fixedly at Black. The professor walked to Black's side, seized his hand, pulled him to his feet so that Crookshanks fell to the floor, and embraced Black like a brother. Harry felt as though the bottom had dropped out of his stomach.
"I don't believe it!"
Hermione screamed. Lupin let go of Black and turned to her. She had raised herself off the floor and was pointing at Lupin, wild-eyed.
"You! You!"
"Hermione!"
"You and him!"
"Hermione, calm down!"
"I didn't tell anyone!"
Hermione shrieked.
"I've been covering up for you!"
"Hermione, listen to me, please," Lupin shouted. "I can explain." Harry could feel himself shaking, not with fear, but with a fresh wave of fury.
"I trusted you," he shouted at Lupin, his voice wavering out of control. "And all the time, you've been his friend."
"You're wrong," said Lupin. "I haven't been Sirius's friend, but I am now. Let me explain."
"No!"
Hermione screamed.
"Harry, don't trust him. He's been helping Black get into the castle. He wants you dead, too. He's a werewolf."
There was a ringing silence. Everyone's eyes were now on Lupin, who looked remarkably calm, though rather pale.
"Not at all up to your usual standard, Hermione," he said. "Only one out of three, I'm afraid. I have not been helping Sirius get into the castle, and I certainly don't want Harry dead."
An odd shiver passed over his face. "But I won't deny that I am a werewolf." Ron made a valiant effort to get up again, but fell back with a whimper of pain. Lupin made toward him, looking concerned, but Ron gasped,
"Get away from me, werewolf!"
Lupin stopped dead. Then, with an obvious effort, he turned to Hermione and said, "How long have you known?"
"Ages," Hermione whispered, "since I did Professor Snape's essay."
"He'll be delighted," said Lupin coolly. "He assigned that essay hoping someone would realize what my symptoms meant. Did you check the lunar chart and realize that I was always ill at the full moon? Or did you realize that the Boggart changed into the moon when it saw me?"
"Both,"
Hermione said quietly. Lupin forced a laugh. "You're the cleverest witch of your age I've ever met, Hermione."
"I'm not,"
Hermione whispered.
"If I'd been a bit cleverer, I'd have told everyone what you are."
"But they already know," said Lupin. "At least, the staff do."
"Dumbledore hired you when he knew you were a werewolf?"
Ron gasped.
"Is he mad?"
"Some of the staff thought so," said Lupin. "He had to work very hard to convince certain teachers that I'm trustworthy."
"And he was wrong," Harry yelled. "You've been helping him all the time."
He was pointing at Black, who suddenly crossed to the four-poster bed and sank onto it, his face hidden in one shaking hand. Crookshanks leapt up beside him and stepped onto his lap, purring. Ron edged away from both of them, dragging his leg.
"I have not been helping Sirius," said Lupin. "If you'll give me a chance, I'll explain. Look."
He separated Harry's, Ron's, and Hermione's wands, and threw each back to its owner. Harry caught his, stunned.
"There," said Lupin, sticking his own wand back into his belt. "You're armed. We're not. Now will you listen?"
Harry didn't know what to think. Was it a trick?
"If you haven't been helping him," he said with a furious glance at Black, "how did you know he was here?"
"The map," said Lupin.
"The Marauder's map. I was in my office examining it."
"You know how to work it?" Harry said suspiciously.
"Of course I know how to work it," said Lupin, waving his hand impatiently. "I helped write it. I'm Mooney. That was my friend's nickname for me at school."
"You wrote?"
"The important thing is I was watching it carefully this evening because I had an idea that you, Ron, and Hermione might try and sneak out of the castle to visit Hagrid before his hippogriff was executed. And I was right, wasn't I?"
He had started to pace up and down, looking at them. Little patches of dust rose at his feet.
"You might have been wearing your father's old cloak, Harry."
"How do you know about the cloak?"
"The number of times I saw James disappearing under it," said Lupin, waving an impatient hand again. "The point is, even if you're wearing an invisibility cloak, you still show up on the Marauder's map. I watched you cross the grounds and enter Hagrid's hut. 20 minutes later, you left Hagrid and set off back toward the castle, but you were now accompanied by somebody else."
"What?" said Harry.
"No, we weren't." "I couldn't believe my eyes," said Lupin, still pacing and ignoring Harry's interruption. "I thought the map must be malfunctioning. How could he be with you?"
"No one was with us," said Harry.
"And then I saw another dot moving fast toward you, labeled Sirius Black. I saw him collide with you. I watched as he pulled two of you into the Whomping Willow."
"One of us," Ron said angrily.
"No, Ron," said Lupin. "Two of you."
He had stopped his pacing, his eyes moving over Ron.
"Do you think I could have a look at the rat?" he said evenly.
"What?" said Ron.
"What's Scabbers got to do with it?"
"Everything," said Lupin.
"Could I see him, please?"
Ron hesitated, then put a hand inside his robes. Scabbers emerged, thrashing desperately. Ron had to seize his long, bald tail to stop him escaping. Crookshank stood up on Black's leg and made a soft, hissing noise. Lupin moved closer to Ron. He seemed to be holding his breath as he gazed intently at Scabbers.
"What?" Ron said again, holding Scabbers close to him, looking scared. "What's my rat got to do with anything?"
"That's not a rat," croaked Sirius Black suddenly.
"What do you mean? Of course he's a rat."
"No, he's not," said Lupin quietly. "He's a wizard."
"An Animagus," said Black. "By the name of Peter Pettigrew."
Chapter 18. Mooney, Wormtail, Padfoot, and Prongs. It took a few seconds for the absurdity of this statement to sink in. Then Ron voiced what Harry was thinking.
"You're both mental."
"Ridiculous," said Hermione faintly.
"Peter Pettigrew's dead," said Harry. "He killed him 12 years ago."
He pointed at Black, whose face twitched convulsively.
"I meant to," he growled, his yellow teeth bared. "But little Peter got the better of me. Not this time, though."
And Crookshanks was thrown to the floor as Black lunged at Scabbers. Ron yelled with pain as Black's weight fell on his broken leg.
"Sirius, no!"
Lupin yelled, launching himself forwards and dragging Black away from Ron again.
"Wait! You can't do it just like that. They need to understand. We've got to explain.
"We can explain afterwards," snarled Black, trying to throw Lupin off. One hand was still clawing the air as it tried to reach Scabbers, who was squealing like a piglet, scratching Ron's face and neck as he tried to escape.
"They've got a right to know everything," Lupin panted, still trying to restrain Black. "Ron's kept him as a pet. There are parts of it even I don't understand. And Harry, you owe Harry the truth, Sirius."
Black stopped struggling, though his hollowed eyes were still fixed on Scabbers, who was clamped tightly under Ron's bitten, scratched and bleeding hands.
"All right, then,"
Black said, without taking his eyes off the rat.
"Tell them whatever you like, but make it quick, Remus. I want to commit the murder I was imprisoned for."
"You're nutters, both of you," said Ron shakily, looking round at Harry and Hermione for support. "I've had enough of this. I'm off."
He tried to heave himself up on his good leg, but Lupin raised his wand again, pointing it at Scabbers.
"You're going to hear me out, Ron," he said quietly. "Just keep a tight hold on Peter while you listen."
"He's not Peter, he's Scabbers," Ron yelled, trying to force the rat back into his front pocket.
But Scabbers was fighting too hard. Ron swayed and overbalanced, and Harry caught him and pushed him back down to the bed. Then, ignoring Black, Harry turned to Lupin.
"There were witnesses who saw Pettigrew die," he said. "A whole street full of them."
"They didn't see what they thought they saw," said Black savagely, still watching Scabbers struggling in Ron's hands.
"Everyone thought Sirius killed Peter," said Lupin, nodding. "I believed it myself until I saw the map tonight, because the Marauder's map never lies. Peter's alive. Ron's holding him, Harry."
Harry looked down at Ron, and as their eyes met, they agreed silently. Black and Lupin were both out of their minds. Their story made no sense whatsoever. How could Scabbers be Peter Pettigrew? Azkaban must have unhinged Black after all. But why was Lupin playing along with him? Then Hermione spoke in a trembling, would-be-calm sort of voice, as though trying to will Professor Lupin to talk sensibly.
"But, Professor Lupin, Scabbers can't be Pettigrew. It just can't be true. You know it can't."
"Why can't it be true?" Lupin said calmly, as though they were in class and Hermione had simply spotted a problem in an experiment with Grindylows.
Because people would know if Peter Pettigrew had been an animagus. We did animagi in class with Professor McGonagall, and I looked them up when I did my homework. The Ministry of Magic keeps tabs on witches and wizards who can become animals. There's a register showing what animal they become and their markings and things, and I went and looked Professor McGonagall up on the register, and there have been only 7 animagi this century, and Pettigrew's name wasn't on the list."
Harry had barely had time to marvel inwardly at the effort Hermione put into her homework when Lupin started to laugh.
"Right again, Hermione," he said. "But the Ministry never knew that there used to be 3 unregistered animagi running around Hogwarts."
"If you're going to tell them the story, get a move on, Remus," snarled Black, who was still watching Scabbers' every desperate move. "I've waited 12 years. I'm not going to wait much longer."
"All right, but you'll need to help me, Sirius," said Lupin. "I only know how it began."
Lupin broke off. There had been a loud crack behind him. The bedroom door had opened of its own accord. All 5 of them stared at it. Then Lupin strode toward it and looked out into the landing.
No one there.
"This place is haunted," said Ron.
"It's not," said Lupin, still looking at the door in a puzzled way. "The Shrieking Shack was never haunted. The screams and howls the villagers used to hear were made by me."
He pushed his graying hair out of his eyes, thought for a moment, then said,
"That's where all of this starts, with my becoming a werewolf." None of this could have happened if I hadn't been bitten, and if I hadn't been so foolhardy. He looked sober and tired. Ron started to interrupt, but Hermione said, "Shh." She was watching Lupin very intently. "I was a very small boy when I received the bite. My parents tried everything, but in those days there was no cure. The potion that Professor Snape has been making for me is a very recent discovery. It makes me safe, you see. As long as I take it in the week preceding the full moon, I keep my mind when I transform. I am able to curl up in my office, a harmless wolf, and wait for the moon to wane again. Before the wolfsbane potion was discovered, however, I became a fully fledged monster once a month. It seemed impossible that I would be able to come to Hogwarts. Other parents weren't likely to want their children exposed to me. But then Dumbledore became headmaster, and he was sympathetic. He said that as long as we took certain precautions, there was no reason I shouldn't come to school." Lupin sighed and looked directly at Harry. "I told you months ago that the Whomping Willow was planted the year I came to Hogwarts. The truth is that it was planted because I came to Hogwarts. This house," Lupin looked miserably around the room, "the tunnel that leads to it, they were built for my use. Once a month I was smuggled out of the castle into this place to transform. The tree was placed at the tunnel mouth to stop anyone coming across me while I was dangerous." Harry couldn't see where this story was going, but he was listening raptly all the same. The only sound apart from Lupin's voice was Scabbers' frightened squeaking. "My transformations in those days were terrible. It is very painful to turn into a werewolf. I was separated from humans to bite, so I bit and scratched myself instead. The villagers heard the noise and the screaming and thought they were hearing particularly violent spirits." Dumbledore encouraged the rumor. "Even now, when the house has been silent for years, the villagers don't dare approach it. But apart from my transformations, I was happier than I had ever been in my life. For the first time ever, I had friends, three great friends, Sirius Black, Peter Pettigrew, and, of course, your father, Harry, James Potter. Now, my three friends could hardly fail to notice that I disappeared once a month. I made up all sorts of stories. I told them my mother was ill and that I had to go home to see her. I was terrified they would desert me the moment they found out what I was. But of course they, like you, Hermione, worked out the truth. And they didn't desert me at all. Instead, they did something for me that would make my transformations not only bearable, but the best times in my life. They became an Imagi."
"My dad, too?"
said Harry, astounded.
"Yes, indeed," said Lupin.
"It took them the best part of 3 years to work out how to do it. Your father and Sirius here were the cleverest students in the school. And lucky they were, because the Animagus transformation can go horribly wrong. One reason the Ministry keeps a close watch on those attempting to do it. Peter needed all the help he could get from James and Sirius. Finally, in our 5th year, they managed it. They could each turn into a different animal at will."
"But how did that help you?"
said Hermione, sounding puzzled. "They couldn't keep me company as humans, so they kept me company as animals," said Lupin. "A werewolf is only a danger to people. They sneaked out of the castle every month under James's invisibility cloak. They transformed. Peter, as the smallest, could slip beneath the willow's attacking branches and touch the knot that freezes it. They would then slip down the tunnel and join me. Under their influence, I became less dangerous. My body was still wolfish,
but my mind seemed to become less so while I was with them.
"Hurry up, Remus," snarled Black, who was still watching Scabbers with a horrible sort of hunger on his face.
"I'm getting there, Sirius, I'm getting there. Well, highly exciting possibilities were open to us now that we could all transform. Soon we were leaving the Shrieking Shack and roaming the school grounds and the village by night. Sirius and James transformed into such large animals they were able to keep a werewolf in check. I doubt whether any Hogwarts students ever found out more about the Hogwarts grounds and Hogsmeade than we did, and that's how we came to write the Marauder's Map and sign it with our nicknames. Sirius is Padfoot, Peter is Wormtail, James was Prongs.
What sort of animal?
Harry began, but Hermione cut him off.
That was still really dangerous, running around in the dark with a werewolf. What if you've given the others the slip and bitten somebody?
A thought that still haunts me, said Lupin heavily. And there were near misses, many of them. We laughed about them afterwards. We were young, thoughtless, carried away with our own cleverness. I sometimes felt guilty about betraying Dumbledore's trust, of course. He had admitted me to Hogwarts when no other headmaster would have done so, and he had no idea I was breaking the rules he had set down for my own and others' safety. He never knew I had led three fellow students into becoming Animagi illegally, but I always managed to forget my guilty feelings every time we sat down to plan our next month's adventure, and I haven't changed. Lupin's face had hardened, and there was self-disgust in his voice. All this year I have been battling with myself, wondering whether I should tell Dumbledore that Sirius was an animagus, but I didn't do it. Why? Because I was too cowardly. It would have meant admitting that I'd betrayed his trust while I was at school, admitting that I'd led others along with me. And Dumbledore's trust has meant everything to me. He let me into Hogwarts as a boy, and he gave me a job when I have been shunned all my adult life, unable to find paid work because of what I am. And so I convinced myself that Sirius was getting into the school using dark arts he learnt from Voldemort, that being an animagus had nothing to do with it. So, in a way, Snape's been right about me all along.
Snape? Said Black harshly, taking his eyes off Scabbers for the first time in minutes and looking up at Lupin. What's Snape got to do with it?
He's here, Sirius, said Lupin heavily. He's teaching here as well. He looked up at Harry, Ron, and Hermione. Professor Snape was at school with us. He fought very hard against my appointment to the Defense Against the Dark Arts job. He has been telling Dumbledore all year that I am not to be trusted. He has his reasons. You see, Sirius here played a trick on him which nearly killed him, a trick which involved me. Black made a derisive noise.
It served him right, he sneered, sneaking around, trying to find out what we were up to, hoping he could get us expelled.
Severus was very interested in where I went every month, Lupin told Harry, Ron, and Hermione. We were in the same year, you know, and we, didn't like each other very much. He especially disliked James. Jealous, I think, of James's talent on the Quidditch field. Anyway, Snape had seen me crossing the grounds with Madame Pomfrey one evening as she led me toward the Whomping Willow to transform. Sirius thought it would be, amusing to tell Snape all he had to do was prod the knot on the tree trunk with a long stick, and he'd be able to get in after me. Well, of course, Snape tried it. If he'd got as far as this house, he'd have met a fully grown werewolf. But your father, who'd heard what Sirius had done, went after Snape and pulled him back, at great risk to his life. Snape glimpsed me, though, at the end of the tunnel. He was forbidden by Dumbledore to tell anybody, but from that time on, he knew what I was.
So that's why Snape doesn't like you,
said Harry slowly, because he thought you were in on the joke.
That's right,
sneered a cold voice from the wall behind Lupin. Severus Snape was pulling off the invisibility cloak, his wand pointing directly at Lupin. Chapter 19 The Servant of Lord Voldemort. Hermione screamed. Black leapt to his feet. Harry felt as though he'd received a huge electric shock.
"I found this at the base of the Whomping Willow," said Snape, throwing the cloak aside, careful to keep this one pointing directly at Lupin's chest. "Very useful, Potter. I thank you."
Snape was slightly breathless, but his face was full of suppressed triumph.
"You're wondering perhaps how I knew you were here,"
he said, his eyes glittering.
"I've just been to your office, Lupin. You forgot to take your potion tonight, so I took a gobletful along. And very lucky I did. Lucky for me, I mean. Lying on your desk was a certain map. One glance at it told me all I needed to know. I saw you running along this passageway and out of sight."
"Severus," Lupin began, but Snape overrode him.
"I've told the headmaster again and again that you're helping your old friend Black into the castle, Lupin, and here's the proof. Not even I dreamed you would have the nerve to use this old place as your hideout."
"Severus, you're making a mistake," said Lupin urgently. "You haven't heard everything. I can explain. Sirius is not here to kill Harry."
"Two more for Azkaban tonight,"
said Snape, his eyes now gleaming fanatically.
"I shall be interested to see how Dumbledore takes this. He was quite convinced you were harmless. You know, Lupin, a tame werewolf."
"You fool," said Lupin softly. "Is a schoolboy grudge worth putting an innocent man back inside Azkaban?"
Bang!
Thin, snake-like cords burst from the end of Snape's wand and twisted themselves around Lupin's mouth, wrists, and ankles. He overbalanced and fell to the floor, unable to move. With a roar of rage, Black started towards Snape, but Snape pointed his wand straight between Black's eyes.
"Give me a reason,"
he whispered.
"Give me a reason to do it, and I swear I will."
Black stopped dead. It would have been impossible to say which face showed more hatred. Harry stood there, paralyzed, not knowing what to do or whom to believe. He glanced around at Ron and Hermione. Ron looked just as confused as he did, still fighting to keep hold on the struggling Scabbers. Hermione, however, took an uncertain step towards Snape and said in a very breathless voice,
"Professor Snape, it wouldn't hurt to hear what they've got to say, would it?"
"Miss Granger, you are already facing suspension from this school,"
Snape spat.
"You, Potter, and Weasley are out of bounds in the company of a convicted murderer and a werewolf. For once in your life, hold your tongue!"
"But if there was a mistake..."
"Keep quiet, you stupid girl!"
Snape shouted, looking suddenly quite deranged.
"Don't talk about what you don't understand."
A few sparks shot out of the end of his wand, which was still pointed at Black's face. Hermione fell silent.
"Vengeance is very sweet,"
Snape breathed at Black.
"How I hoped I would be the one to catch you." "The joke's on you again, Severus,"
Black snarled.
"As long as this boy brings his rat up to the castle,"
he jerked his head at Ron,
"I'll come quietly." "Up to the castle?"
said Snape silkily.
"I don't think we need to go that far. All I have to do is call the Dementors once we get out of the willow. They'll be very pleased to see you, Black. Pleased enough to give you a little kiss, I dare say."
What little color there was in Black's face left it.
You've got to hear me out,"
he croaked.
"The rat! Look at the rat!"
But there was a mad glint in Snape's eyes that Harry had never seen before. He seemed beyond reason.
"Come on, all of you,"
he said. He clicked his fingers, and the ends of the cords that bound Lupin flew to his hands.
"I'll drag the werewolf. Perhaps the Dementors will have a kiss for him, too."
Before he knew what he was doing, Harry had crossed the room in three strides and blocked the door.
"Get out of the way, Potter. You're in enough trouble already," snarled Snape. "If I hadn't been here to save your skin."
"Professor Lupin could have killed me about 100 times this year," Harry said. "I've been alone with him loads of times, having defense lessons against the Dementors. If he was helping Black, why didn't he just finish me off then?"
"Don't ask me to fathom the way a werewolf's mind works," hissed Snape. "Get out of the way, Potter."
"You're pathetic," Harry yelled. "Just because they made a fool of you at school, you won't even listen."
"Silence! I will not be spoken to like that,"
Snape shrieked, looking madder than ever.
"Like father, like son, Potter, I have just saved your neck. You should be thanking me on bended knee. You would have been well served if he'd killed you. You'd have died like your father, too arrogant to believe you might be mistaken in Black. Now get out of the way, or I will make you. Get out of the way, Potter!"
Harry made up his mind in a split second. Before Snape could take even one step toward him, he had raised his wand.
"Expelliarmus!" he yelled.
Except that his wasn't the only voice that shouted. There was a blast that made the door rattle on its hinges. Snape was lifted off his feet and slammed into the wall, then slid down it to the floor, a trickle of blood oozing from under his hair. He had been knocked out. Harry looked around. Both Ron and Hermione had tried to disarm Snape at exactly the same moment. Snape's wand soared in a high arc and landed on the bed next to Crookshanks.
"You shouldn't have done that," said Black, looking at Harry. "You should have left him to me."
Harry avoided Black's eyes. He wasn't sure even now that he'd done the right thing.
"We attacked a teacher. We attacked a teacher,"
Hermione whimpered, staring at the lifeless Snape with frightened eyes.
"Oh, we're going to be in so much trouble."
Lupin was struggling against his bonds. Black bent down quickly and untied him. Lupin straightened up, rubbing his arms where the ropes had cut into them.
"Thank you, Harry," he said.
"I'm still not saying I believe you," he told Lupin.
"Then it's time we offered you some proof," said Lupin. "You, boy, give me Peter, please. Now."
Ron clutched Scabbers closer to his chest.
"Come off it," he said weakly. "Are you trying to say he broke out of Azkaban just to get his hands on Scabbers? I mean..."
He looked up at Harry and Hermione for support.
"Okay, say Pettigrew could turn into a rat. There are millions of rats. How's he supposed to know which one he's after if he was locked up in Azkaban?"
"You know, Sirius, that's a fair question," said Lupin, turning to Black and frowning slightly. "How did you find out where he was?"
Black put one of his claw-like hands inside his robes and took out a crumpled piece of paper, which he smoothed flat and held out to show the others. It was the photograph of Ron and his family that had appeared in the Daily Prophet the previous summer, and there, on Ron's shoulder, was Scabbers.
"How did you get this?" Lupin asked Black, thunderstruck.
"Fudge," said Black. "When he came to inspect Azkaban last year, he gave me his paper, and there was Peter on the front page on this boy's shoulder. I knew him at once. How many times had I seen him transform? And the caption said the boy would be going back to Hogwarts, to where Harry was."
"My God," said Lupin, softly, staring from Scabbers to the picture in the paper and back again. "His front paw."
"What about it?" said Ron defiantly.
"He's got a toe missing," said Black.
"Of course," Lupin breathed.
"So simple, so brilliant. He cut it off himself." "Just before he transformed," said Black. "When I cornered him, he yelled for the whole street to hear that I'd betrayed Lily and James. Then, before I could curse him, he blew apart the street with the wand behind his back, killed everyone within 20 feet of himself, and sped down into the sewer with the other rats."
"Didn't you ever hear, Ron,
said Lupin. "The biggest bit of Peter they found was his finger."
"Look, Scabbers probably had a fight with another rat or something. He's been in my family for ages, right?"
12 years, in fact, said Lupin. "Didn't you ever wonder why he was living so long?"
We've been taking good care of him, said Ron.
"Not looking too good at the moment, though, is he?" said Lupin. "I'd guess he's been losing weight ever since he heard Sirius was on the loose again."
"He's been scared of that mad cat," said Ron, nodding toward Crookshanks, who was still purring on the bed.
But that wasn't right, Harry thought suddenly. Scabbers had been looking ill before he met Crookshanks, ever since Ron's return from Egypt, since the time when Black had escaped.
"This cat isn't mad," said Black hoarsely. He reached out a bony hand and stroked Crookshanks' fluffy head. "He's the most intelligent of his kind I've ever met. He recognized Peter for what he was right away. And when he met me, he knew I was no dog. It was a while before he trusted me. Finally, I managed to communicate to him what I was after, and he's been helping me."
"What do you mean?" breathed Hermione.
"He tried to bring Peter to me, but couldn't. So he stole the passwords into Gryffindor Tower for me. As I understand it, he took them from a boy's bedside table."
Harry's brain seemed to be sagging under the weight of what he was hearing. It was absurd, and yet...
"But Peter got wind of what was going on and ran for it," croaked Black. "This cat, Crookshanks, did you call him, told me Peter had left blood on the sheets. I suppose he bit himself. Well, faking his own death had worked once."
These words jolted Harry to his senses.
"And why did he fake his death?" he said furiously. "Because he knew you were about to kill him, like you killed my parents?"
"No," said Lupin.
"Harry, and now you've come to finish him off."
"Yes, I have," said Black, with an evil look at Scabbers.
"Then I should have let Snape take you," Harry shouted.
"Harry," said Lupin hurriedly, "don't you see? All this time we've thought Sirius betrayed your parents, and Peter tracked him down, but it was the other way around. Don't you see? Peter betrayed your mother and father. Sirius tracked Peter down."
"That's not true," Harry yelled. "He was their secret keeper. He said so before you turned up. He said he killed them."
He was pointing at Black, who shook his head slowly. The sunken eyes were suddenly overbright.
"Harry, I as good as killed them," he croaked. "I persuaded Lily and James to change to Peter at the last moment, persuaded them to use him as secret keeper instead of me. I'm to blame, I know it. The night they died, I'd arranged to check on Peter, make sure he was still safe. But when I arrived at his hiding place, he'd gone. Yet there was no sign of a struggle. It didn't feel right. I was scared. I set out for your parents' house straight away. And when I saw their house destroyed and their bodies, I realized what Peter must have done. What I'd done."
His voice broke. He turned away.
"Enough of this," said Lupin, and there was a steely note in his voice Harry had never heard before. "There's one certain way to prove what really happened. Ron, give me that rat."
"What are you going to do with him if I give him to you?"
Ron asked Lupin tensely.
"Force him to show himself," said Lupin. "If he really is a rat, it won't hurt him." Ron hesitated. Then at long last he held out Scabbers, and Lupin took him.
Scabbers began to squeak without stopping, twisting and turning, his tiny black eyes bulging in his head.
"Ready, Sirius?" said Lupin. Black had already retrieved Snape's wand from the bed. He approached Lupin and the struggling rat, and his wet eyes suddenly seemed to be burning in his face.
"Together," he said quietly.
"I think so," said Lupin, holding Scabbers tightly in one hand and his wand in the other. "On the count of three. One, two,
three.
A flash of blue-white light erupted from both wands. For a moment, Scabbers was frozen in mid-air, his small grey form twisting madly. Ron yelled. The rat fell and hit the floor. There was another blinding flash of light, and then... It was like watching a speeded-up film of a growing tree. A head was shooting upward from the ground. Limbs were sprouting. A moment later, a man was standing where Scabbers had been, cringing and wringing his hands. Cookshanks was spitting and snarling on the bed. The hair on his back was standing up. He was a very short man, hardly taller than Harry and Hermione. His thin, colourless hair was unkempt, and there was a large bald patch on top. He had the shrunken appearance of a plump man who has lost a lot of weight in a short time. His skin looked grubby, almost like Scabbers' fur, and something of the rat lingered around his pointed nose and his very small, watery eyes. He looked around at them all, his breathing fast and shallow. Harry saw his eyes dart to the door and back again. "Well, hello, Peter," said Lupin pleasantly, as the rats frequently erupted into old-school friends around him. "Long time no see."
"Sirius! Remus!"
Even Pettigrew's voice was squeaky. Again his eyes darted toward the door.
"My friends! My old friends!"
Black's wand arm rose, but Lupin seized him around the wrist, gave him a warning look, then turned again to Pettigrew, his voice light and casual. "We've been having a little chat, Peter, about what happened the night Lily and James died. You might have missed the finer points while you were squeaking around down there on the bed."
"Remus!"
gasped Pettigrew, and Harry could see beads of sweat breaking out over his pasty face.
"You don't believe him, do you? He tried to kill me, Remus!"
"So we've heard," said Lupin more coldly. "I'd like to clear up one or two little matters with you, Peter, if you'd be so—"
"He's come to try and kill me again!"
Pettigrew squeaked suddenly, pointing at Black, and Harry saw that he used his middle finger, because his index was missing.
"He killed Lily and James, and now he's going to kill me too! You've got to help me, Remus!"
Black's face looked more skull-like than ever as he stared at Pettigrew with his fathomless eyes. "No one's going to try and kill you until we've sorted a few things out," said Lupin.
"Sorted things out?"
squealed Pettigrew, looking wildly about him once more, eyes taking in the boarded windows and, again, the only door.
"I knew he'd come after me. I knew he'd be back for me. I've been waiting for this for 12 years.
"You knew Sirius was going to break out of Azkaban?" said Lupin, his brow furrowed. "When nobody has ever done it before?"
"He's got dark powers the rest of us can only dream of,"
Pettigrew shouted shrilly.
"How else did he get out of there? I suppose he who must not be named taught him a few tricks."
Black started to laugh, a horrible, mirthless laugh that filled the whole room.
"Voldemort, teach me tricks?"
he said. Pettigrew flinched as though Black had brandished a whip at him.
"What? Scared to hear your old master's name?"
said Black.
"I don't blame you, Peter. His lot aren't very happy with you, are they?"
"Don't know what you mean, Sirius,"
muttered Pettigrew, his breathing faster than ever. His whole face was shining with sweat now.
"You haven't been hiding from me for 12 years, said Black. "You've been hiding from Voldemort's old supporters. I heard things in Azkaban, Peter. They all think you're dead, or you'd have to answer to them. I've heard them screaming all sorts of things in their sleep. Sounds like they think the double-crosser double-crossed them. Voldemort went to the Potters on your information, and Voldemort met his downfall there. And not all Voldemort's supporters ended up in Azkaban, did they? There are still plenty out here, biding their time, pretending they've seen the error of their ways. If they ever got wind that you were still alive, Peter—"
"Don't know what you're talking about,"
said Pettigrew again, more shrilly than ever. He wiped his face on his sleeve and looked up at Lupin.
"You don't believe this madness, Remus?"
"I must admit, Peter, I have difficulty in understanding why an innocent man would want to spend 12 years as a rat," said Lupin evenly.
innocent, but scared,
squealed Pettigrew.
If Voldemort's supporters were after me, it was because I put one of their best men in Azkaban, the spy, Sirius Black.
Black's face contorted.
How dare you,
he growled, sounding suddenly like